first take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Let's start with the headlines that you need to know. We have a new Major League Baseball proposal to the union. They've updated their proposal to the MLB Players Association today, moving to have a 76-game season, with players getting 75% of their prorated salaries. A source familiar with the negotiations told ESPN's Carl Ravage. The proposal also includes eliminating draft pick compensation for free agents for a year. Teams would not lose a pick for signing a free agent. The team losing the player would get a compensatory pick during the draft, and includes a $200 million postseason pool for the players. The proposal would end the season no later than October 31st. So let's see what that means, where the players go from here, but at least for right now, we have another proposal. Next up in the headlines that you need to know, Jarrell Casey spoke out Monday about the way the Titans treated him when they traded him to the Denver Broncos after 9 seasons in Tennessee. He said it was equivalent to throwing him away, quote, like a piece of trash. He discussed the trade on the Double Coverage podcast hosted by New England Patriots Devin and Jason McCourty. Casey was former teammates of Jason McCourty with the Titans. So his quote, the part that is so crazy is that you give so much of them, especially when you come up on free agency and have opportunities to go somewhere else. Especially the way it was going while we were there. 2-14, 3-13, Casey said, quote, those were some rough times when you're a loyal guy and you feel like things are going in the right direction and you're that centerpiece. You got no choice but to fight it through. My mindset was to stick it out and things would get better. It reminds us all that the conversation about loyalty always seems, as fans, we always seem to put it on players without ever asking the question of how loyal teams are to those same stars. And lastly, on your headlines, Novak Djokovic has spoken out about participating in the U.S. Open. He said it would be an impossible task due to the, quote, extreme coronavirus protocols in place for the tournament at Flushing Meadows, New York. The U.S. Open, right now scheduled to begin on August 31st, will be the first Grand Slam to be played after the COVID-19 pandemic led to the suspension of the season in March. French Open was postponed to September. Wimbledon Championships canceled. The suspension of the tennis season was last extended until the end of July, but Djokovic, three-time champion there, is not sure the tournament will go ahead. Quote, I had a telephone conversation with the leaders of world tennis. There were talks about the continuation of the season, mostly about the U.S. Open due in late August, but it's not known whether it will be held. So all players trying to figure out how to react to that. Those are your headlines. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests appear on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. I'm Jason Fitz. I want you guys to chime in on your thoughts on the NFL statement. Roger Goodell came out on Friday, had plenty to say about the NFL in the past, not doing it the right way and not supporting peaceful protests. In fact, rather than summarize Roger Goodell's words, you're going to hear him in just a second. I want your reaction to it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. I will remind you what I said on Friday. These issues get fired up for people. And James was working on Friday. Connor's working the phones today. If you are not nice to Connor, you will not get on the show. I know we get fired up about this, but I'm tired of people coming in and going at the guys that are answering the phones, working their butts off behind the scenes. So if you're going to call in, be nice. Simple human lesson. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We start with some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless doesn't play games. Get the unlimited plan. 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. Saves you up to 50% against the big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. I want you to hear the words specifically from Roger Goodell, because like so often in the NFL, this came out late Friday afternoon. Many of you may have not heard it, may not have seen it. This is Roger Goodell's statement via @NFL on social media.
It has been a difficult time for our country, in particular, black people in our country. First, my condolences to the families of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and all the families who have endured police brutality. We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people. We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest. We, the National Football League, believe Black Lives Matter. I personally protest with you and want to be part of the much-needed change in this country. Without black players, there would be no National Football League. And the protests around the country are emblematic of the centuries of silence, inequality, and oppression of black players, coaches, fans, and staff. We are listening. I am listening, and I will be reaching out to players who have raised their voices and others on how we can improve and go forward for a better and more united NFL family.
It's rare that we see the commissioner come out so universally to me and speak towards issues in general. It feels like so often they have avoided these things, and they didn't in this instance. Roger Goodell has come out and at least made a statement. Now, we're going to get your take on it. I'm going to give you my take on it. But first, let's hear what they had to say in a really smart conversation today between Max and Dominique Foxworth on First Take about Roger Goodell's statements.
I'll be satisfied if and when Kaepernick gets a job, or at least has the opportunity for a job, without a kind of workout, a tryout, being a Trojan horse to smuggle a waiver in that would help the NFL in a future lawsuit. You know, stuff like that. Look, it's interesting to listen to Goodell talk about how he stands with the protesters and everything, because, you know, the protests have always been against the man, right? It's tough for the man to say, now I'm joining the protesters, because Goodell is one of the faces of the man. On the other hand, there have been, and Dominique, you'll know more about this than I will. You used to obviously be the head of the players union, and so you have much more direct dealings in this sort of thing and know more about Goodell. But there is a sense that the owners have limited his power in this way, in terms of helping Cap out, giving him a fair shake. That may be true. The fact that Goodell is saying this now indicates how things have changed. Because make no mistake, the NFL's quote-unquote core values, the work in the community and everything, seems to me to be just an issue of a calculation. How much can we give with this helping our bottom line, or at least not hurting our bottom line? We can't be seen to be doing nothing. And I think that's the way the NFL makes calculations. And by the way, that's the way most corporations operate. They're not moral or immoral. They're mostly amoral. The job of a corporation, which is why they need regulation, government regulation, is to make money. That's what they know. So what's the real core value of the NFL? The core values are to make money by bringing you football and covering the world of football. Those are the core values. And if they think that this is going to interfere with their bottom line, they'll get on board with the protests to enough of a degree where they don't alienate the other side, right? Like whoever would be pro-police brutality. But not that long ago, they felt that whatever economic damage the protesters or the Kaepernick supporters would do to the league if they didn't support would be outweighed by the economic damage done by the so-called mainstream, who by and large the NFL felt was against the protest. This indicates, I think, the NFL doing a new calculation where they think the times have changed in the last 4 years, because the original situation with Kaepernick was 4 years ago. Things have changed, and we could do more economic damage to ourselves now by not at least paying lip service to the idea that we support the protest. But until it has some teeth, it won't be good enough.
Yeah, Drew Brees was that tipping point, I think, in NFL circles. Is I think so many people were willfully ignorant about what Kaepernick's protest was about, and they chose to say it was about disrespecting the flag, when obviously there was enough information out there that they could have known what it was actually about. But I think no one at this point can go forward being ignorant about what kneeling during the flag meant then and what it may mean going forward. So I do think that there should be no sides on this. It's quite clear. Everyone, including Drew Brees, understands that kneeling while the national anthem is going on is not disrespect to a flag or any troops. In fact, it's the opposite. It is calling the country to live up to what it says that it believes in. Like, it is more than anything, it is suggesting that we can do better and we can actually be the America that we say that we want to be. So I do think that that is all changed. So there should be no opposition to that. So saying that doesn't really make me feel all that warm and fuzzy about Roger Goodell making this statement, because it feels like he's going to where the safe place is. The safe place before, he felt like, was again with the loud majority of people who thought that this was some sort of demonstration of disrespect. Now it seems the money and the safety is on the other side. So that's where he's going. That's what he's saying. And I'm not going to attempt to jump into Roger Goodell's mind, though I had to work with him in the past when I was president of the union. I do think that the people that I've talked to inside the league and around the league believe that Roger Goodell personally has been on the right side of many of these issues, that he wanted Kaepernick back in the league and he didn't want Cap out. He wanted improvements in diversity. He wanted to beef up the Rooney Rule. Like, that's what people say about him. And he hasn't had the courage, I guess, to step out of the way and let the ire of the media and the fans who have a problem with the progress of the NFL fall on the owners.
First take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and that's an interesting point from Dominique that people are behind closed doors have seen Goodell as an ally on so many of these issues. I don't know that it's just the courage to stand up. I wonder how much of it is affected by the fact that realistically he doesn't work for the players. He works for the owners. They're the ones that decide to pay him. So he's got to reflect their values more often than not. Is this, because of what we're going through in life right now, an opportunity for Roger Goodell to sort of insert more of what he's passionate about, because there is more leeway right now when it comes to these conversations? It feels like the world today is more understanding and more open to listening than maybe it was 2, 3, 4 years ago. Are we looking at some evolution that allows this conversation to be had at a different level? I want to take your thoughts on it, and we'll continue to break this down as a group. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Alan, Pennsylvania. Al, what do you got, man? Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, man, what's up?
Just living the dream, man. What's your take on it?
My take is simply, it's one thing to say it, because like the video the players made was basically done like around behind the owner's back. So like the owners had no idea this was coming. So it'll be one thing for Goodell to say, it'll be another thing for the league to back it up. Because, you know, if there's anything that the old billionaires in the NFL dislike, it's being told what they have to do. So I said, it'll be interesting if the NFL will actually, like, do something other than just say, oh, yeah, you're right.
Well, and Al, I think that's going to be case by case. I mean, we've seen it in the past. And, you know, I not just because the Cowboys are such a popular conversation point on this network, but Jerry Jones is, let's face it, one of the owners that has spoken out the loudest about what will and won't be accepted during the anthem. And when you start to look at those conversations, and again, the anthem is a much different situation here, but we haven't seen the NFL necessarily come out and back the players in this way. But we have already seen front offices and owners speaking out on the death of George Floyd and on what it means to the world today and where society is. So we have seen some owners. The question is, will we see it unilaterally? Probably not. But if we don't, then each fan, as I've said in the past, is going to have their own decision to make on what they're willing to support and where they're willing to put their dollars. Hugh in Pennsylvania, what's your take on Goodell's comments?
To me, they're not worth the paper they're printed on unless the NFL, and by that I mean the owners, take positive steps forward in terms of the actions of the league, because I cannot believe that Roger Goodell would make a statement like that without at least having some approval of maybe not all the owners, but quite a few of them. And so the next thing that the
go ahead, Hugh. Sorry.
The next thing that the NFL, I would like to see the NFL do is come up with, you know, in terms of Colin Kaepernick, I think you're right when you say he deserves a shot. Whether that is being signed as a unsigned free agent or...
Well, and Hugh, thanks for your take on it. I hate to cut you off, but we got a lot of people that want to get in, Hugh. And look, you're right that actions speak louder than words. But don't words have to have some meaning when we haven't seen them in the past from the league? I mean, I understand that it's easy to look at this and say, hey, I'm not taking anything from it until they do something. But when's the last time the league came out and said something? I mean, how calculated has Roger Goodell been in everything he's ever had to say, in every opportunity he's had to speak? And you're right. I don't think he speaks without knowing at some level who he speaks for. Through it all, Roger Goodell works for the owners. He speaks for the owners. So to me, this is absolutely a huge first step, because action has to support it. But anybody in your life that's trying to affect change in their own life and the way they've approached things at some point has to speak on it. And then, yes, has to follow it up with action. Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils always follows it up with action. They're made from natural gas. Gives you unbeatable engine protection. Proof is in the PEMS oil based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. I want to keep taking your thoughts on Goodell's comments. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Dominique Foxworth and Lewis Riddick join First Take. And when it comes to action, to have the conversation about action this fall. Should players kneel next season in the NFL? This is what Fox and Riddick had to say about it.
I'll be satisfied if and when Kaepernick gets a job, or at least has the opportunity for a job, without a kind of workout, a tryout, being a Trojan horse to smuggle a waiver in that would help the NFL in a future lawsuit. You know, stuff like that. Look, it's interesting to listen to Goodell talk about how he stands with the protesters and everything. Because, you know, the protests have always been against the man, right? It's tough to
I think
man to say, now I'm joining the protesters, because Goodell is one of the faces of the man.
I mean, I think that a lot of players will kneel, and I think it might be most players, honestly, because I feel like public opinion has changed a lot. I don't think that it's as effective now, because part of the reason why Kaepernick's protest was so effective and why it got everyone's attention was because it made so many people uncomfortable, which speaks to the point of Roger Goodell. If Roger Goodell does take a knee, that matters. That's another step forward, and that does ruffle enough feathers to get people's attention. But I do have to kind of disagree with you on one thing, that when you're talking about the robber barons and the billionaires with all the power and how Roger Goodell represents that, I think you're absolutely right. But to me, that money is not the power. The power comes from, like, collective action. And I think we're seeing that show its face today. Like, the reason why we get all these major corporations making comments is not because that they feel liberated. It's because they feel pressured to do so. So I think in your point, that is also power, and it's a demonstration of power.
No, no, Dominique, that is my point. I don't mean to interrupt. I just want to correct that. My point is that under normal circumstances, the power is concentrated in those with great wealth and who have access to those who have their hands on the lever of power, until there are some events with underlying causes that get the people to exercise their power. That is the greatest power, and that's precisely my point. That's what it would demonstrate.
That is absolutely more powerful than any amount of money that anyone has at this point. But I do think that Roger Goodell may participate in some way. He said he's going to protest with you. Maybe he thinks his video is protest enough. I'm not sure. I suspect he will do something more. And I mean, he is probably the second most progressive commissioner in sports. Like, that, I know you love to trumpet how Adam Silver is the most progressive, which is a low bar. So Roger Goodell, second most progressive commissioner. So maybe he will bend the knee and suggest that the owners do so also. I think that's the big next step, is that we need to go around Roger Goodell. And I had this conversation with Mina Kimes over the weekend, where she was suggesting that I was saying that Roger is kind of there to protect the owners. And she made the very good point that he's only protecting them because we're shooting at him. Like, we can go around and we can go directly to the team owners and call them out and ask them to make comments and hold them accountable for the positions they held and the things they said. What do you think, Lou?
No, I think there's no question. You know, started with the players, Dominique. I think there's no doubt that the players, if they feel so inclined to kneel, they should kneel. For sure, and there should be no negative repercussions surrounding the fact that they decide to kneel or not decide to kneel. But, and I think there's no doubt that taking it to the next step, Commissioner Goodell showing solidarity and actually showing some real authenticity in terms of him taking a knee, you know, taking a knee with the players, would absolutely take this to a whole nother level as far as the authenticity of the NFL overall, as far as them putting their weight behind what the players have been fighting for and what the players have been fighting for all along. This really hinges on what kind of statement do the owners make? Because there has not been a statement made. And I am one who, again, consistently continues to say that we need to go ahead and start walking across that bridge from statements to impact. What kind of impact are you going to make? But I think it is imperative, no doubt, that the owners make statements. Collectively, it's probably not going to come. Individually, there's no question that teams can come out and absolutely put their might behind the players, just as selective coaches have. And I think that, more so than even kneeling, would really further along and advance the cause and advance the movement and really lend some credibility to the owners and from their side of things, as far as, hey, look, we are behind our players. The players are our partners, because silence right now, I'm telling you, I'm uncomfortable when people aren't speaking up right now. I'm uncomfortable when people who have influence aren't saying a word right now. Because to me, you know, in an environment where right now it is, quote unquote, safe for you to express yourself in a way that maybe it wasn't 4 years ago, then what is your reason for not saying a word? For not saying anything, even if you couldn't prove that you were taking the next step and actually impacting this positively, what is preventing you from saying something? That, to me, immediately throws into question just how authentic and what kind of credibility you have as far as denouncing racism, denouncing social injustice. So for the owners, I think it's important to say something. And then it's important to have sustainable action followed up behind it, because that's ultimately going to get us where we need to get to. And that's going to, and that's not something that's going to happen just from kneeling. We have a lot of work to still do. And the owners, without a doubt, need to be behind the players and make it known that they are behind the players.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. A lot of interesting stuff there. You guys want to chime in on the comments from Roger Goodell? We're going to let you do that throughout the course of the show. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. You can get in on the conversation that way. We're going to do all of that coming up. Plus, I'm going to learn to speak. It's a Monday morning. You got all the details you need to know. We'll give them to you next about Major League Baseball's newest proposal. We'll do that next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, ESPN News. You can also just ask your smart speakers to hang out with ESPN Radio. Gets you right to us. I'm Jason Fitz, presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting, home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quoting by all online at progressive.com. We're going to keep taking your take. We've been taking your take on the comments of Roger Goodell from Friday afternoon and what it means for the future of the NFL, how you guys see it, your thoughts on it. A lot of First Take conversation about it, but there's also a conversation going on about Major League Baseball. I want you guys to be caught up on the latest, greatest news happening, and that comes from Carl Ravage, ESPN Major League Baseball reporter, who joined SportsCenter at noon today to talk about the newest Major League Baseball proposal.
Well, this morning, Major League Baseball sent a proposal to the Players Association, basically looking at the 114-game proposal that the players had made and the 82 games that were out there at one point, and moving off this 48 to 50-game schedule and saying, we are now willing to play 76 games, more games than 48 and 50, 76 games. The prorated salary will be at 75%. There's no sliding scale, which was a thorn with a lot of the folks in the Players Association, that certain players were getting penalized more than others. This is a 75% of your full salary over the course of 76 games for everybody. Major League Baseball got rid of what was always an issue for players, draft pick compensation. There was the idea that teams would be reluctant to sign a player. Yankees signed Gerrit Cole. They forfeited a future draft pick. That will be eliminated, which will allow teams to sign players and not lose a future draft pick. There will be a compensation pick given to these other teams. It is an effort, at the very least, to show that Major League Baseball is interested in playing more baseball games. They do want to play more games. That was something the association, and there was some narrative out there that Major League Baseball is not interested in more games. If the players, and early reaction to this from the players is, we want 100% of our salary, and that's it. If that is, in fact, the line in the sand or even the line in the cement, I think we're going to be looking at a 48 to 50-game season, which will start at some point in July, end in September with a playoffs in October. This generates roughly, according to a source, $200 million more in salary to the players. And rather than what feels like an olive branch, it feels more like a thorn bush that they don't want to touch. Now, I know Jeff Passan's going to come on a little later and give some more of the player response, but this has to do with a 76-game season. There is no 114 games on the table because health experts are suggesting there's going to be a real likelihood of a second outbreak of coronavirus, and having a season interrupted or a postseason interrupted would be economically catastrophic to both sides.
First Take, your take on ESPN News. So that's the latest from Carl Ravage about the Major League Baseball proposal that has gone back to the Players Association, leaning on 76 games. And, you know, Carl mentioned in there that if they can't reach some proposal there, some middle ground on there, 76 games, but also only the players would be playing for 75% of their prorated salaries that they've already agreed upon. So if they can't figure this out, then what's next for Major League Baseball is I think we're going to continue seeing over the next 3 or 4 days a ton of proposals going back and forth. I still remain hopeful that Major League Baseball will understand the importance of getting this worked out, because make no mistake about it, the change in the NBA calendar means the NBA is going to be coming right at Major League Baseball. At this point, we know that the NBA is, they have a plan to action. They have a plan of how they're going to get themselves a playoff, but it also means that the calendar is going to shift. If next summer we're going to have the opportunity to watch Major League Baseball games or NBA games that actually have more meaning because they're deep in the regular season and it's going to last throughout the course of the entire summer, will people be even interested in going back to Major League Baseball if the presumption is that baseball, for whatever reason, from either side, couldn't get this worked out due to money? I think there's more pressure than ever for the future of Major League Baseball to just get this worked out. But we'll know, I think, in the next few days, because they're going to run out of time to actually get anything done of meaning. Don't forget, you can tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. Gets you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. We're taking your thoughts on the comments from Roger Goodell. And again, Roger Goodell came out on Friday afternoon and essentially said, hey, we need to be better listeners. We need to stand more unified. We haven't done a good enough job. And there's already some of the comments that you guys have given us have been very much to the point of, it doesn't matter. I don't really care what you have to say about it. I need to see action. I would argue that above and beyond action, just the willingness to come out and speak means something, because whether, as Dominique Foxworth pointed out earlier in the show today, whether it means something simply because they feel like they can speak out now that it's the cool hip thing to do, or whether it means something because they're actually putting out new standards. I don't know how you can say this if you're the NFL, that you want to stand with your players and walk it back. And frankly, what I wish for everything at some point, let me be, poly positive for a minute, Peter positive coming in saying, what I wish is that we could have the same level of love and respect between the players and owners in every sport that we have in the NBA. Whether you love or hate the NBA, you have got to admit that the NBA is doing it better than your favorite sport when it comes to relationships between players and owners. I want every sport to have that, so we stop hearing so many of these arguments and discussions. I want every sport to work together, and it only makes sense for the NFL to do that with their players, to find a way to really empower their players. I love the concept of that, and I don't, for all the action that people want, I don't think you get that action without at least getting some commitment to it, because by Roger Goodell speaking out, he put a line in the sand, as Carl Ravitch mentioned a line in the sand earlier, he put a line in the sand establishing a new level of what we should expect and demand from the NFL when it comes to how to handle these things. We should expect that the NFL is going to be working with players, not against players. And with that expectation being vocalized, now there's a different standard to hold the league to. Dante in Pennsylvania, taking y'all's take on it. Dante, what's your take on Roger Goodell's comments?
Good afternoon, guys. It's actually Emmanuel from York, Pennsylvania. I just want to say that if the NFL truly want to make a stand and set the tone for the upcoming season, and what he should do is put a picture of Lamar Jackson taking a knee on the cover of Madden 21. I think that's a good idea, and I think it sets the tone as far as what's to come in the upcoming season.
Well, Dante, look, I don't think it's a bad idea, but I will say this. It's not the NFL's idea to have. It's EA Sports. You know, at some point, EA Sports is going to have to decide what they want to do with the cover. Now, if they wanted to do that, I'm sure that they don't want to fracture their relationship with the NFL, and there could be some internal pressure. But considering they just struck a new deal to remain basically the only NFL simulation for the next several years, I mean, EA Sports could do kind of what they want either way on it. This is a little bit, that ball's in their court, although I don't dislike the idea. Now we got Mike in Pennsylvania, I think. Mike, what do you got? What's your take on it?
Well, I think, by the way, hello. How you doing? Hope you're having a good day. Love your show. I believe that the press has a big role in this. The players are representatives of their community, and they have thousands of followers. And I believe that this racism, to paint it with a wide brush of it's racist, is not productive. I always tell my kids to be part of the solution, right? So I believe the details is what matters. And if players can be a source, they have microphones in front of their mouth every day with the press. And if they can pass along some of these details, some of the specific circumstances of racism and things that are happening, I think that's where the solution comes, is dealing with specifics not painting with such a wide brush.
Well, and that's a fair point, you know, and part of this comes from, I've said for years, whatever you love, whatever you're reading about, whether it's sports, music, politics, religion, doesn't matter. Whatever you're reading about, find sources you trust and really absorb what they're saying. Listen to sources that you trust. And that means finding writers or media people that you think are doing a great job of giving you everything you need to know to better prepare you. So find people you trust and ask and lean on them to be sort of the path for you. And in that sense, that comes to part of it. Now, I will say, the good that's been done by players is often reported. It's just rarely resonates to the same level. I mean, we live in a world where, for whatever reason, people love to swim in the seas of negativity. So sometimes it's easier to just sit there and spin up. And even with your social circle, like, when's the last time a bunch of you and your friends got together and instead of gossiping about whoever's falling apart here or whatever's not going well there, you just sat back and said, you know who I'm really happy for right now? Like, I don't know. There's been a shift in tone in the way that we handle a lot of life. I think that comes into part of this. Let's go to Juan in Kentucky. Juan, what do you got? What's your thoughts on Roger Goodell's comments?
Hey, Jeff Mayer. Juan, Kentucky. My thought is I'm positive about this this statement from Roger Goodell, but for bigger reasons than just for the NFL. It felt wrong. It felt bad back in 2016 when everybody made this about the flag, and it got spun in a way that you're either patriotic if you have to stand up, and the whole racism thing got swept under the rug. It was spun that way. So my hope is that by now people standing up, and I loved what happened with Drew Brees, where he came out and said, okay, I apologize, I'm listening. And then President Trump chimes in that he shouldn't have apologized. But then he responded to President Trump and said, no, Mr. President, that's not how I see it. And that's where I think it feels different than before. There would be a death or a shooting. Everybody talks about it for a week, and then everybody forgets about it. What I'm hoping comes out of this, it doesn't get spun into you're either pro this, or if it gets spun into, oh, now you want to defund the police departments around the country, and you're talking about the wrong thing. I don't think that's what Kaepernick knelt for, but it became about the flag and not about racism and police brutality, which is where the discussion should be. And now we're at the same spot 4 years later, and it's now different, and I'm hoping it doesn't get spun into something us versus them where it divides us even further as a country.
Juan, yeah, that's really well said, man. And one thing that I've continued to say every time we talk about the anthem issue on this show, I will continue to remind everybody that's a totally separate conversation about a totally separate issue. And we're doing our best to, on this show at least, to make sure that we keep our eyes on what we're trying to talk about through the course of it. Again, I think the important part here is that Roger Goodell speaking so publicly about the failings of the NFL. Anytime you stand up and you admit to the world that you failed at something, you are also admitting to the world that you are ready to be held to a different standard. So I think it becomes up to us, not just us with microphones, but us as consumers, people as fans, in your social circles. I continue to say this. We can't look for change in tone and change in conversation just from our leaders. We have to make sure that we're demanding that same change in tone everywhere that we look. So I think that part of this comes back to when Roger Goodell speaks out, now what's the new standard? Because when you speak out so publicly, you are creating a different standard. Speaking of speaking out, star player in college football spoke out against his coach. We heard from him this morning. You'll hear it next. The strong conversation of First Take. You'll hear about it. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. We're brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life. Marvin Wilson, the Florida State star defensive player, he's training for a better life. He's getting ready, right? Like, he's getting ready for whatever's next for him. Now, that question of what's next for him is something that college football will answer over the course of his career, right? But the questions of what's going on behind closed doors, now, That's where it gets awkward at Florida State. Mike Norvell, a coach that I've been very high in praise for everything he did at Memphis, a coach that I got to meet briefly when game day was down there in Memphis. He's got a lot of impact to make, and I believe that he can be a great college football coach. That being said, when he was asked about the issues going on in society right now, he came out and said that he'd taken the time to reach out to all of his players one-on-one. Marvin Wilson, star player, went to social media to tell everybody that wasn't true. He was on Packer and Durham today talking about what people need to do and why he was so blunt and honest about his coach.
Anybody can make videos and post it about how they feel about what's going on in the world. It takes action, you know, and going to taking that stand that I took, moving forward, it has to be action behind what I was going to say. So even though I took that stand, so it's had to be steps moving forward to show people how we're going to move forward as a program, and me as a player, moving in through our community. So that's why we took those steps to going back to giving back to the community so we can build up everything around us, you know, and keep it and exalt this community. So at the end of the day, everybody is winning. Everybody is doing better, and we're making this world a better place to live in for generations behind us. They're bigger than just the athlete, and you have a voice, and a voice that needs to be heard. And it all comes down to the fact that about what are you speaking about? What is your end goal, and how you're going to move forward about what you speak on? And just living a life that you actually say you're preaching to everybody. You have to live that life. You have to going forward, no matter if you speak out or not, you know there's going to be a microscope on you at all times being an athlete already. Once you speak out, you have to live by it. And that's one of my biggest things, me personally, moving forward, is that I know once I took that stand, the microscope on me really zoomed in on me moving forward, and I'm ready for it. You know, I spoke up, I said it like a man, so I got to be a man about everything that I say. So I encourage any other student athlete, male or female, that you live by what you say, but at the same time, speak up and speak your mind.
I can't give Marvin Wilson a loud enough standing ovation. He was on Packer and Durham this morning. Tune into Packer and Durham on ACC Network Sirius XM Channel 371 and the ESPN app weekday mornings from 8 to 10. And this is really strong because Mike Norvell comes in, and I don't know what Coach Norvell was thinking when he decided to tell people that he'd reached out to players, and in fact, that hadn't happened. But I do know what Marvin Wilson was thinking, and be ready for this, because the world is changing in front of our eyes, not just with the everything that's happening in society, but in the change in the way athletes view their platform and their ability to use it. See, we're used to NBA players feeling empowered to come out and speak their truth. That's something that's now crossing over across every sport, and it's great. I don't care. If you don't want to listen, don't listen. That's fine. You have every opportunity to tune out people off the field if you don't care about what they stand for. But for athletes to understand that they have a platform and want to use that platform for whatever they choose to use it is power. All right. And what we are seeing are college athletes, particularly, more empowered than ever, more understanding than ever of their worth, of their entrepreneurialism, of their ability to be a brand. And as a result, of the responsibility they can and should take in what they say and how they say it. This is an amazing reminder that college football athletes are changing in front of our very eyes, and is part of what I love about the sport. We're going to keep talking. You're taking your take. Plus, why are more people not talking about whether athletes want to play? You'll hear it next.